Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome hour number two, and welcome in our guest Elliot Friedman, who joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. And Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Riv was just asking Elliot what kind of phone he had. I mean, just the questions that just kind of go on here. The question I have, or the it thing I
sounded,
want to
tell you. It sounded like the old school BlackBerry. You remember those?
Oh,
like
yeah.
They first came out and you're like, it's like you could hear the click, 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 click.
I like that. I like that noise, that sound. I like that.
Well, obviously it's still on your iPhone.
I used to like the BlackBerrys. I was a big boy. Yeah, you checking yourself out, Elliot, in the reflection. Yeah,
I just lost it. It's like, oh my God.
Well, instead exploded. Of us telling you, how do you feel you look?
Worse than normal, I would say.
I was saying it's a big birthday up there in Canada. Harvey's is 62 years
old.
Oh,
wow. Harvey's fantastic.
Harvey's great is burger. 62 years old. Are you a Harvey's guy, Elliot?
Oh yeah. I mean, how can you not like Harvey's?
Well, it's funny you say that. I tell all my American friends, if they're driving through Canada, this is pre-COVID, I'm like, stop at Harvey's. Because I always say, like, I love burgers. I'm like, where's your favorite burger, blah, blah, blah. And I love Harvey's. And I say, when you go to Canada, stop at Harvey's. Well, I had some friends stop at Harvey's, and they didn't give it a very good grade.
Do you not?
And it almost cost us our friendship. What's that, Riv?
Do you not think that, you know, where you go eat, I'm talking burgers, has to do with how you're feeling, what happened the night before, all that kind of stuff. Like, if you're having your healthy burger, where are you going to go? Like, you're actually feeling good about yourself.
Is there such thing as a healthy burger?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe a Beyond Burger or an Impossible Burger, something like that, like one of the plant-based ones.
No, I wouldn't do it.
What about Wendy's?
I like Wendy's, too.
Sure, I like Wendy's.
Nice
burger.
You know
what? I gotta tell you.
What about if you're out with your buddies and you throw a banger the night before? And
like a late night kind of
super thing? Late night. Like you passed out and you wake up by the fire pit. Like not that that's happened to me, but
two McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Two McDonald's. So you're going to McDonald's.
Yeah, I like
when you're going to McDonald's in that state. That's why
not
I'm asking.
Too heavy, very tasty.
That's why I'm going Harvey's.
Okay,
I'm going.
Harvey's has the greatest onion rings on the history of the planet. So happy birthday, Harvey! We had Elliot on not to talk about Harvey's, but Harvey's is a hockey staple in Canada. I mean, Harvey's hockey. We got Elliot on; he's up there in Canada. It all kind of goes together. So what's going on, Elliot? Like, Sabres get a huge win last night. Yeah. I mean, what's kind of the perception now that Philly's brutal or what?
Well, I mean, you guys should have beaten them twice.
True. That's true.
You know, that should have been.
So you can say that we're kind of like officially on fire right now.
Yeah, right. 3 points out of the last four. Like, honestly, you guys should have beaten them twice. And, you know, Philly, obviously, I mean, quite a week for them. They announced that Carter Hart's not going to play and he's going to work in practice. And then, you know, they really should have lost twice in a row to you guys. And, you know, it's, and that team had huge expectations. I'm just happy for your players. I mean, this year is hard, and nobody deserves what your players were going through and your coaches. And I'm just glad that they got a victory. I know I wrote this week that it's borderline unprofessional for me to come out and say it, but I don't care. I want people to do well, and I'm happy that they won. It was funny. We were doing the highlights last night, and Jeff Merrick looks at that first goal from Reinhardt last night and says, like, what a bounce in off Justin Braun. And I said, geez, like, the Sabres haven't had enough of those this year. That's a bounce the Sabres deserved.
That's a winning bounce right there. Yes. That's a team that's like, that's a President's Trophy bounce.
Yes,
it is. Hey?
That is that a higher power wanted you to win that game.
There's no question. You weren't matching 19 in COVID-19, that's for sure.
You know what's amazing about that game, Elliot? Not only did the Sabres break the streak of 18 games, they broke a 3-year drought where they have not won a game in the month of March.
In regulation.
Are you serious?
3 years.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
We didn't. I learned that yesterday, Elliot. I just about fell off my chair.
That is unbelievable.
Because I made a joke saying this is the most meaningful game in March. I said, you want a meaningful game in March? Yesterday is the most meaningful game in March because you're playing on national television and you're about to break a bad record if you lose. Like, this is the most meaningful game in March. And then we were added the information of they haven't won a game in March in regulation in 3 years.
Wow.
Even more.
I didn't realize that. Now, by the way, Craig, like, I don't know if you ever scored two shorthanded goals in a game, but did you ever come close to scoring two in 37 seconds like Montour did last night?
I only scored two goals in one game once in my career. I can tell you where it was and what team it was against because it does not happen very often. So to score two shorthanded goals, that is, I don't think I've ever had a shorthanded goal in my entire life.
Oh, so you weren't going to tell us about the two goals you scored?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm waiting for the rest of the story.
Where's the story?
I'm not going to interrupt. I'm sure he's going to tell me the rest of the story.
No, you guys want to hear about my two goals?
They're
against the Minnesota
Wild. Same Stars.
No. Oh, yeah, right. And I was taking down Mike Modano, Minnesota North Stars. No, it was against the Minnesota Wild in the Bell Center. And I still remember those that night. I scored two goals. I think they might have been in the first period. But anyway, doesn't really matter.
Were guys trying to set you up for the hat trick later in the game?
Can't remember back that far, but I would hope so. But
well, did you win the game?
I don't know that either, but I would think yes. I think we won 2-1.
If Reve's spotty, you won 2-1 and you had both.
We might have won 2-1, but
that's a first really star at the center bell, huh? No question.
The first star, number 52, number 52 of the Montreal Canadiens, Craig Reve.
Let's talk a little about the Sabres.
I'm looking this up.
What are you looking up? His goal?
I'm looking up to see if they won the game. And
Elliot, let me ask you this. While you're looking it up, do you think Montour's record is unbreakable? I think it's unbreakable. Ever. For a defenseman to score two shorthanded goals ever again in 37 seconds. Same game, maybe. Same penalty kill, no chance.
I would hesitate to call it unbreakable. I mean, who would have thought that Montour could do that last night? Like, no offense on him, but
That's exactly it. Like, it's total fluke. I mean,
it can happen.
But do you not think that the same scenario, whether it's 5-10 years down the line, can happen, Petey, where, you know, you're end of the game, you have a penalty, the team pulls the goaltender, so it's a 6-on-4, defenseman ices the puck, it goes in the net. Now you have 37 seconds to score another goal, right? I think that can happen. Is it likely? Obviously not. Look at the statistics. Brandon Montour is down in the history books, but I think it can be broken.
It will never be broken. It can be broken. but it will never be broken. And I, Elliot, I said, if I told the guys, and you can get in on this too, I told the guys, and I'll stand by this, then I'll start asking about assistant general manager and trades. Okay. I said, if it happens in my lifetime, and you might want to get this going around the league, the guys can take one of my pinky toes with one of those cigar cutters, like they would do in the mob.
Are you sedated at the time?
No, let it rip. Just take it quickly.
All right. I have some information here. February 27th, 2003, Craig Revey scored two goals for the Canadiens in a game against the Minnesota Wild. The final score was 6-3 Wild.
From hero to hero.
Do you have how many minutes? Was I a plus player, Elliot?
Oh my god! I'll see if I can find.
Oh my god! What a completely different scenario.
Okay, like you really set us up for that really nicely, Craig. I scored two goals. It was against Minnesota, and I think we won the game 2-1. Well, you know what?
No. Petey asked me. No. Elliot, let's get some straight. Petey asked me, "Did you win the game?" What was my response? I have no idea.
But you indicated that it was like a 2-1 victory or something like that.
You did say I think we won 2-1.
Elliot, do you have my statistics?
I'm looking at it right now. I just found the game. I found the story from the game. Now I'm looking for the actual.
We lost. Come on, but you, man. Elliot.
I'm actually looking for it here.
He definitely.
Be a plus player.
He definitely.
He created the impression that they won two.
No, but he definitely was still happy after the game, though.
Okay, I found the box score. Let me see what we got here.
Please be minus
Come
two.
On, please be good. Please be plus.
Minus three.
Craig Revey, two goals. Minus Craig, one. You were even.
Wow. So that means if they were even,
how many minutes did I play?
You played 23-22.
23-22, is that it?
Yeah, only one guy.
Two goals. You.
Can you guess who the only guy was who played more than you that night?
Markov.
Patrice Brisebois. No, is it Markov?
Yeah.
What was his points?
Markov had one assist and was minus two. There were a lot of
obviously.
There were a lot of minus twos that night. Brisebois was minus two.
How many plus are minus two? Were there any plus players?
No, the best was even. So you were one of the best.
So literally, I took the team, put them on my back.
Did what you could.
And couldn't get it done.
No, did what you could, and they couldn't follow.
I got to tell you, the only other even players that night, Gordy Dwyer, who played 7 minutes, Carl Dykhouse, who played 14 and a half, Chad Kilger, who played 9:45, Randy McKay, who played 7:17, and you. So I will say this is actually a pretty impressive performance because anyone who played any kind of minutes in this game besides you got caved in by the Wild.
Well done, Riff. Well done. Who would have thought all those years later that great game would have been brought up for you after a 6-3 loss? Instigators.
Listen.
What?
God, man. I had a great career.
Instigators WGR 515 MSG. Elliot, thanks for the toss out there in the 31 thoughts. You mentioned us in 31 thoughts. What's going to happen with Taylor Hall? We talked about the devaluing of first round picks maybe this year because of a weak draft. What's going to happen here with everything going on?
I think that, you know, look, I still think you guys are going to try to do a lot of things. You know, one of the things I'd kind of heard was that, you know, teams were submitting lists of prospects that they'd be interested in moving. So you guys kind of knew who, you know, everybody was willing to talk about. And then you got to do your research, right? Like, for example, if you're talking something with Toronto or you're talking something with, say, the Islanders, you got to know A, who they're willing to talk about, and B, you know, what you think of those players. You've got to do your research. So I think a lot of that has been going on. I think Sabres saying, okay, if we are willing to deal with you, what prospects are you willing to include? And the Sabres are kind of doing their research on that. you know, like I still think the Hall thing is going on. I wrote that I think there were some conversations between you guys and the Blues about something. I thought it was Hall. I got pushed back on the idea. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I think that just the one thing about Hall is because he's got a big cap number, even though you guys are willing to eat some of it, it might just have to wait till that cap number goes down. There's not a lot of teams with room, right? So I could see that one being closer to the 12th as opposed to sooner.
Could you see the Sabres holding Hall out at this point in time? Now that they broke their...
Yeah, you know it's this... funny. We had this conversation last night, Craig. Like, Jeff Merrick asked me, would I sit him out? And I said, no, I think you've got to win. Maybe now that you've won, it's different. I was thinking about that leading into last night's game. Maybe it is different. Generally, as you know, the only time a guy gets held out is when you're close, right? Yeah. And as far as I can tell, they aren't close to anything on Hall as we speak at 11:19 on Thursday morning.
What about Sam Reinhardt? What about Rasmus Ristolainen? These are guys that, from what we hear, the Sabres are interested maybe in keeping, but also those are the guys that are going to get you the biggest return. Are you hearing their names out there at all?
I think, to be honest, like I've heard, you know, I've heard almost every name in Buffalo. And I think simply because, like, you know, we've talked about this. Kevin Adams has said, and I actually do think that Kevin Adams has a proper approach here. He's basically said, bring me your ideas and we'll listen to everything. I think there are some guys who are more untouchable than others. I would assume Dahlin is pretty close. I would think Cousins is pretty close. But I would think they'd be willing to listen on almost anything else. Like I've told you, Reinhardt's reputation this year has been very good. You know, people who've watched him say that he's really played hard in a very difficult situation. I know you guys are big fans. I think in situations like that, you know, a player's value goes up because, you know, he's played hard in a tough situation. I think the same thing, you know, Ristolainen, as you guys know, is a very polarizing player because his analytics numbers aren't great. But I'll tell you this, like people have noticed that guy really cares a lot. And, you know, like I think the other thing too is we all know that he went through a very difficult time with COVID and he's done everything he can to get back in and play hard for a team in a tough situation. People notice that kind of thing. And this
go ahead.
And I just think, so I think Adams is looking at everything.
I was just going to add there before I asked you about the assistant general manager, that Risto's a guy that when he moves on, I'll root for him to have success.
100%.
Not yeah. against the Sabres, of course, mm-hmm. but I would root for him to have success because I like Rasmus Ristolainen.
I'll tell you this, Petey, can I just add something?
Yes, you can.
8 years. 8 years. Rasmus Ristolainen was drafted the Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm. eighth pick overall. He's lost a tremendous, and I mean tremendous amount of games. I'm going to tell you this. I would want you to go back and look at every single game and show me one game, one instant in a game where it looked like he was pouting. One. This guy has given everything. Whether you like it and all that analytics crap, this, that, and the other.
He actually looks worn down now. Like he looks worn out.
He's been through a lot this year.
He's been through a lot, but he does not quit.
No.
He does not quit. And whether he's here in Buffalo or whether he moves on, this guy only knows how to give 110%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a lot of time for him. I think the way he's carried himself this year, I've got a lot of time for him.
Incredible.
You know, the other thing too, guys, and I also wrote this week, that it's a real shame what happened to Jake McCabe, A, for him, and B, like I had some teams tell me that the way McCabe plays is a rental. Buffalo would have got something good for him.
I think they could have got a second round pick for him, for sure. He's at nice, he can play minutes. He
plays hard.
He's robust.
Yeah,
you know, he'll block shots, finish checks. He'll fight if he has to, you know, I mean, yeah, I felt bad for Jake when he went down too, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, whether he was coming back here or not, or everybody wanted him back or not, he was playing great and it was good for him because it was going to prolong his career. That's why. Do you know anything about his injury? We know what it is, but is he going to recover from that? Have you heard anything?
Oh, I heard he was going to recover for it. It's time, right? It's like Ekblad. It's just time. It just sucks. Terrible timing.
Speaking of timing, are we to expect Jason Karmanos to be announced as the assistant general manager at any time, or is the search still going forward?
The honest answer is I'm not 100% sure. I believe, like everybody else, that Karmanos is the top candidate. I've heard you've been interviewing some other people too. One thing I had heard was that Karmanos was making a lot of calls around the league. You know, what do you know about Buffalo? What would you tell me about Buffalo? So he was doing his due diligence too. Until I hear for any reason he's out, I assume he's the number one contender.
Do you know, could you say who the other names were?
I don't know yet. I honestly don't know yet. I've been working on some, but I don't have any proof. So I would say I don't want to answer that yet.
What about Linus Allmark? Have there been any, will there be any contract talks with him, or do you think that that's someone that the Sabres could move on? Have you heard his name tossed around at all?
The situation I heard his name in, and I don't necessarily think it was anything like, let's talk about a deal, but I do think that Toronto, in doing their due diligence as they try to sort out what's going on in their net, has called Buffalo to ask what the Sabres are thinking there. Now, I don't know where that's going to go. Toronto has Frederick Anderson of the Maple Leafs has an appointment today, and they're hoping to get better clarity on what his situation is. If he's out for the year or anything like that, I could see Toronto maybe getting serious. Well, if he's out for the year, Toronto's going to get serious about what they're going to have to do in goal. I do think they've touched base with Buffalo, at least asking what their plans are with Allmark.
So,
we need to do this, would there be an option there?
Yep. So I guess my question to you is this. Does the Toronto Maple Leafs believe that they are a top cup contender?
Yes.
So they believe this year that this is their year, that they can beat any team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's a go for a year. Like, look, Craig, you're not.
And what's the one area that they need help in?
Well, I think I got to tell you, 5-on-5, they're really good. Like, they just play Edmonton and Winnipeg back to back, and they played extremely well. I think they would like to get another forward to play with Tavares and Nylander. And I think that they're all of a sudden wondering if they have to get a goalie because of the injuries. Both Campbell and Anderson have been hurt.
What's Frederick Anderson's contract status at the end of the year?
He's up at the end of this year.
UFA, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they'd bring him back? I feel like if they don't get it done with him this year, that it's going to be time to move on. They're going to go in another direction.
Every time I've read about Frederick Anderson, they're complaining about him.
Well, because there's unfortunately, put it this way. I think Anderson's a good goalie. I think he is, but he's been hurt this year. It's the worst year to get hurt. And, the fact is they haven't gotten out of the first round.
He's got a tendency to let in a couple softies at bad moments.
So, and I think this, if this team doesn't get out of the first round this year, this is the year you have to go for it. For one, for most of the year, they've been really good. And secondly, you don't have to deal with Boston or Tampa until at least the third round of the playoffs if you have to deal with them at all. So this is the year you have to go for it. You push your chips all in.
So when you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning a year ago, mm-hmm. they needed certain ingredients to win the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got a Blake Coleman, mm-hmm. gave a first round draft pick, mm-hmm. and their 2019 first rounder in Foot. They also gave a first rounder for, was it Goodrow, Petey?
Yep, Barkley okay. Goodrow.
Barkley Goodrow. Mm-hmm. So they went all in. So if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, what is the value of Linus Allmark to the Toronto Maple Leafs this year?
I don't think it's a first rounder. I don't. I don't. I think there's some value there, absolutely. And Adams can always say, "Well, you're desperate. Let's see what I can heist out of you." And he should. Like, that's his responsibility. He should do that. I just don't know if I see that being a first rounder. The thing about Toronto and Tampa, I would say this too, is that, you know, Tampa did make some shrewd trades that made their team tougher and nastier. But you know why they won? Because their four best players, Hedman, Point, Kucherov, and the goalie, Vasilevsky, were their best players. They were
fantastic. Whoa. Let's give Stamkos that one goal that he played.
Hey,
in
you
that
know what? Absolutely.
I mean, that is a game changer.
That was impressive, spectacular. But like, I generally feel that those, like, they won because their best players were their best players. But
that's right.
Look, put it this way: we'll find out about Anderson today, and then we'll see if Toronto has to go out and get another goalie.
Last question I want to ask you before we go here, Elliot. When Kevin Adams was interviewed after letting Ralph Kruger go, he said that the coaching search was starting immediately. Do you have any update on that? Do we know of any candidates that have been spoken to, or at least that are in the running? And just to add to that extra layer of the question, is John Tortorella going to be available in the offseason?
You know, I'll tell you this, like, Jarmo Kekalainen has been unbelievably loyal to Tortorella. I say that with respect to Kekalainen. I think there would be a lot of GMs who would not be as patient or as loyal. I've got to think there's a decent chance he's available. I think the question's going to be, what does he want to do?
And that being,
does he want
everybody constantly wants to leave? Why stay in that environment? Is that what you're talking about?
I just think that, you know, like I had a long talk with him last season before the pandemic. And, you know, he just talked about the new challenge in Columbus. And like people have talked about, like, Tortorella wants to get himself fired. I don't believe that. I think that's just not the way this guy is wired. I think what happens is he is wired a certain way to coach a certain way. And I think he tries to take his foot off the gas from time to time, but he just can't. I mean, he's in his 60s and you're just wired a certain way. Like, you can try to change a little bit, but I think it's tough to change your principles, right? And look, I think in a lot of ways, a guy like Tortorella would be perfect for Buffalo, depending on what your roster looks like. With him, you need strong veterans. And if you got who can help your kids through it and also push back against him when you need to do it, right? If you guys are going all kids or all young next year, I don't think that's a good idea. Look at
Greg. I
agree 100%. If the team's going to be super young next year, then I think that he's just not the right guy. But if Jack Eichel's going to be here and they plan on kind of, you know, having a building around Jack and having some older guys, I think he'd be a fantastic guy for Jack and that older group.
Any names that you know of, Elliot?
No, I think you guys are going to wait. Like, why rush it? See what's like. I'll come on every week and tell you again how much Boudreaux would love to coach the Buffalo Sabres. Like, I've done it for, I think, a month straight now. But I think what's going to happen is you guys are going to I think you guys are going to wait to the end of the year, and you should. Like, why rush it? Why not see? Like, I think this could be a tumultuous offseason in the NHL. Lots of changes. Sample the menu.
All right, Elliot, see you next Thursday. 11 all o'clock. Right, have a great weekend.
You guys too.
You got the game on Saturday?
Yeah, we're waiting to see what's going to happen now, because our late game Saturday was supposed to be Vancouver-Edmonton, but we know the Canucks at least didn't play last night. We're waiting for some clarity, right? So
abundance of caution, Elliot. Abundance of caution. Thanks for your time this week. Great stuff as always. We'll chat with you next week. Elliot Friedman can follow.